glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we adore you, Father. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad to even be living in another world than down here on this earth. I've been raised into a kingdom. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right. I've been translated. I'm so glad. Revelation chapter 1. I was thinking the same thing, kind of what Dad was saying here earlier. You're just driving down the road and all of a sudden you realize that there's someone orchestrating every single thing that's going on right now. Why are my pistons going up and down? Why'd that car go right there? It's all for the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Revelation 1. We might take a long trail, but we'll get there by the help of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. Well, you're blessed right now. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which be in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're still talking about the original has returned. I like to, how do I want to say this? Presenting God's masterpiece. It's a presentation tonight. Let's bow our heads together, each one. In the presence of the Almighty God, if you have a need you'd like to lift up to him, the raised hand. God bless each one. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you tonight. Lord, when we look at life and sometimes it seems too difficult, we're grateful as Christians that we don't have to figure it out. We just got to find you, Lord, and you just take care of everything. How appreciative we are of you tonight, Father. And I pray, Lord, for each soul that's come here, they've had enough faith to come into the house of God. And I pray that they would not leave empty, that you destroy the works of the enemy. If there be any unbelief in us, oh God, forgive us. Drive it far from our hearts. Don't let us depart from you, but when we run into your presence with arms wide open tonight, wash us clean, help the discouraged, I pray, save the lost, fill the empty, heal the sick. Speak your word to us, Father, that it might quicken Jesus Christ and every life that's here tonight. Use my lips, but God, I pray all our hearts would be open and we'll receive the word, and may it change us and make us into a perfect image of you. Grant it, Lord, we pray. And we thank you that you're so faithful tonight. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to realize more and more as I'm a Christian that I am a pilgrim and a stranger. You know, anymore it's kind of hard. People might think you're weird, but I just can't relate to how people think in this world anymore. I can't relate to how they live, how they go day by day and hour by hour. Why? Because I've got a promise. I've got a hope. I live in a different realm. I don't live in a world of despair. I live in a place where I know that I know that I know. And the world looks at you like you're crazy. There's no way you can absolutely know. No, they wouldn't call me Brother Andrew, but you understand. There's no way you could know Brother Andrew. Yes, I can. Because the Holy Ghost, when it was given unto me, was a witness that I know in whom I have believed. And I'm fully persuaded he's able to keep me against the day. He's able to keep me against Laodicea. He's able to keep me against myself. When I want to raise up and say, I've got this idea. Lord, I think we ought to do it this way. And then the Lord comes and tells me the exact opposite. I've got power to choose the Word and to cast down reasonings, cast down imaginations, and listen to what God has said. Thank you, Father God. I pray you have the same ability, because that's where the bride of Christ ought to be tonight, tomorrow. Every day of your life, there ought to be a power in the believer that brings your body in subjection to the Word of God. We open up the book of Revelation. I love the first line there, the revelation of Jesus Christ. People, you say revelation, they think you're talking riddles. They think you're adding something to the Bible. You're making it too complicated. As we've heard those leave the message. You know, I'm going to go find a simpler Jesus. You ain't found Jesus at all, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is right here in this book. You can't make up your own. This is what was given to John by the angel. You can say who you think it is, but I believe I know who it was. The prophet said it had to be none other than Elijah. I know it wasn't that man, but the Holy Spirit, praise God, I believe this word, because it's true. Genesis to Revelation, I'm so happy. There's not a verse in the Bible, come on now, that I can't see Jesus Christ because of this revelation that's come. I pray you're the same. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Why did God give His Son this revelation? To show unto His servants things which must. Oh, I love that word in the Bible. You must come to pass. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you, your children, and them that are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God has called. Thank God I heard His call. Thank God I didn't have to go find Him. He was so busy finding me. All I had to do was take a second to stop and say, who's been talking to me all these years? Who's that voice on the inside that keeps telling me I'm doing wrong? Hey, my mama ain't around right now. My daddy ain't around right now. I should be fine with myself. And you found out that the most miserable person you could hang out with was you. Why? Because that's two different natures fighting in there. That's what Paul said. He said, I've got two natures. I find in me two laws. Somebody that wants to serve God and somebody that don't want nothing to do with God. And that was post-conversion. But I'm here to tell you, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Because greater is that man on the inside. Once he's been quickened by the Holy Ghost, the devil can't stop him. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews, just chapter 1. Y'all should probably have a crease there in Hebrews. We spent so much time that part of the Bible. I'm sure it just opens right up there anymore. True story. You might not believe this, but Brother Kent, way back when, you remember when Brother Tom took that series out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7? I literally have a crease in my old Bible on that page right there. That's right. God. Not anybody now. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, that's singular, they didn't say their glory, there's only one, that His glory, and the expressed image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I'd like to take some time to talk about this great person, Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we go back in the Bible, and many times you'll have a little man, and what's his favorite story? It's usually David. Isn't there? Why? Because little kids, little boys anyways, they like fighting. Let's just be honest. They don't want to play with Barbie dolls. They don't want to just sit there and look at you. They want to tackle you. Why? It's just the nature of a little boy, I guess. At least my two do that, especially the little guy. He ain't afraid of nothing. But told you that childlike faith. We'll get to that here in a minute. But what surprises me about David, just we look at these great men of God, but look at what a miserable wretch they can make out of their own experience sometimes. And to be honest with you, David beating Goliath wasn't what baffles me about David's faith. Let's back the train up for a little bit. What was David before he went after Goliath? A sheep herder. in a land and a tribe nobody cared about, with a bunch of sheep nobody knew about besides him and God. This is where you need to learn how to be successful in Christ is to get planted right, to believe right, to start out on the right foot and endure, endure, endure when there ain't nobody watching, when there ain't no glory to have, where you stay with the Word when you know only God is watching you. And until you get to that point, there ain't no ministry to go give to others. David, the reason he became king is God looked way back there. When he had a commission to take care of some sheep that nobody else knew about, what happened to David when he saw just one get taken by a lion? Just one get taken by a bear. You know what most of us would have done without any faith? Come on. Well, it's just one. It won't be too bad. I still get paid this week. You treat your prayer life that way many times, don't you? I prayed 6 days this week, seventh is just extra credit. It won't matter if one sheep gets away. Take it. No, look, don't get quiet. Just say amen. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. I take it. Just carve me one more time, Lord. Get that worldly desire off. Get that distraction of the things of the world out of my life. But God could see way back there that there was something in David. He wasn't going to lose one. And when he saw a lion come after one of his father's sheep, he all of a sudden rose up in faith and said, wait a minute, I've got a commission of God. Wait, David, you're just a sheep herder out in the middle of the field somewhere. I've got a commission. This is where the church ought to be. We're going to get to God's masterpiece. But when every single person in the bride of Christ can realize that what they are supposed to do is important, and what's hindering the body of Christ is those that are in the feet or in the hands or here in the eternal where you can't see it, but they're the lifeline of the church. They won't do what God called them because they want some kind of glory. Could you pray every day for everybody and nobody ever know about it, but you watch miracle after miracle and you can just sit there and praise God? That's the attitude you ought to have. Amen. And David wasn't afraid of no bear. He went out there and he killed that thing and brought back his father. He wasn't afraid of no lion. He went out and killed that thing. And you know what it did? It put something in David that never left him. It gave him a rock solid faith that God was faithful to me then. He'll be faithful to me now with this uncircumcised Philistine. I don't care if he's 10 feet tall. He's coming down. And we can talk about mighty men like that. Moses, a mighty man of God. Most of us, if we were 40 years back, still would have gave up on God using us. But it just took 5 minutes in the real presence of God. That's the problem. Listen now. We ain't here to get some half-hearted experience, some half-hearted repentance. You don't get nowhere with that. Amen. Moses met the pillar of fire face to face. And he was willing to be honest, saying, how in the world am I going to do this? He said, I've ordained you. Isn't that right? I'll go with you. And he said, and remember what Moses said? Your presence better go with us or I'm not going. Amen. It looked like he was being humble, but really that's exactly the way God needed him. Yes, to be dependent on God, not on his ability. Thank you, Lord. And he went out there. He's withstood a whole nation by himself. Even Israel wasn't backing him up. Think about that for a while. Remember, after a few times, Pharaoh brought the punishment harder. And they were ready to kill Moses. What would most of us have done? Well, guess I wasn't called. Guess I got out of the will of the Lord. You need to meet the pillar of fire. And when he says it, you stay with it. What do I tell him? I am sent you.
Amen.
They want to know a name. And I think that's good. I am sent you. They want to know a name today. It's Mrs. Jesus Christ. If you don't like that, too bad. That's how God is revealing himself in this day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can lift these men up and we can keep going on through, but for some reason, those men weren't really God's masterpiece. Listen to me now. Because even with that great faith, what happened to David one time? It only took one pretty girl to do what Goliath couldn't do. That's why Brother Branham said that one pretty girl down there is worse than all the bars in the world. She'll send more souls to hell. It's absolute. Look what it did. You tell me ain't got power. Look what it did to a man after God's own heart. Moses, we know one time, just got fed up. Got sick and tired of grumbling in the church. And instead of going to his prayer closet and getting that thing out of his heart, he said, must we fetch you rebels water? Now the commission didn't leave him. And he smote it once. Nothing happened. Why? He should have known right then I messed up. Because that's what was supposed to happen last time. But you can see he was just too consumed in anger. And he did it again. Water's come, but guess what? He regretted that the rest of his life. And these mighty men, as we know, we could go to Revelation 5, they were standing there when the voice cried out and said, who's worthy to take the book and to open the seals? Who's able to accomplish redemption for mankind before he sends himself to hell?
Sure.
And you know what those men were doing? Remember what that man said when he just told some white lies? When he got in the presence of God, he said those white lies got all big and black. And what do you think David had to do? Hang his head down in shame, look to the side and said, I can't do it. Moses had to do the same thing, look at that and say, my, I can't do it. And they searched through all of them. I believe through all time, we did the same thing. Don't worry. If you ain't found grace today, you would have hung your head the same way, because you got to realize first that you're a sinner before you can ever get saved. That's absolutely the truth. Don't bring no pride to your repentance. It ought to be a completely unfolding of yourself, saying, Lord, you've got to take all of me out. Because if you hold on, I'm telling you, the rich young ruler held on to one thing. Don't tell me it's just money that corrupts a man or a woman. It's just one thing. That's all it takes. But we go through time, and we have all these mighty men. Then there came the virgin born Son of God. And yet, as he grew up, we don't see some mighty things that we ought to lift him up. Isn't that right? He was born. Oh, yeah, virgin birth. Yeah, they believe that. No. He was born with a black name. They still don't believe it. Why would they have believed it then? They thought they had their doctrine right. Come to find out that Jesus is the only one who had their doctrine right, because he was 12 years old telling them what it was. Why? Because even though the Spirit wasn't on him yet, he was still the Word. And the Word always issued forth. I'm sure Mary many times scratched her head and said, what is with this boy? He knows everything. And I heard this once, and I hope that's all right, but I think it was Craig Brewer asked his daddy. He said, Daddy, did Jesus ever get a spanking? And he said, well, son, every parent makes a mistake sometimes. Because I believe he had to go through everything we go through. Did he get falsely accused? His entire life was being falsely accused. And yet, what made this man so great wasn't the power of God. It was the character he displayed with the power of God. See, that's what made David a mighty man. He had power with God, but when he was out there by himself, what a display of character.
Amen.
That it's just one sheep, but it's God's sheep.
Amen.
And I'm not a respecter of persons. If it was King Saul or King Saul's sheep, he might have got some glory, but it was just the son of Jesse. Who's that man? We don't know. We got to go find him. How many sons he have? We don't know. We thought we had them all, but there's one out there we don't know about. Shows you how popular he was in the church. But out of that man came the Son of David. You ever thought about that? How would you feel that one of, I'll just say it for myself, that one of God's titles, one of Jesus Christ's name he came, was the son of Andrew. And just saying, being David, what? Me? Me? No, he saw something beyond just David as a man. It was that character that was there. And that was the one that wrote the Psalms. That wasn't the man committing adultery. That was the same Spirit. That was where God at sundered times was speaking to the fathers. And he did it through all these men. But then he comes to the Son of God. A man who had all God in him. Who had all power in heaven and earth. Come on now. Who could do anything he wanted. What made him such a masterpiece was the character he displayed with all the power right at his fingertips. There's two ways to find a man's character. Give him everything or take everything. God help us that we'll just stay in the middle where we ought to be, and God don't got to beat us over the head with something like that. Remember, that's why David, I believe that's why he came to power, just for that reason, that God could show him he still needed grace. To not get lifted up, to not exalt himself, and it humbled him the rest of his life. And he reaped for it. Oh yeah, sorry child of God, if you make a mistake, I ain't here to tell you it's going to be rosy peachy for you. You're probably going to be reaping some stuff, and it ain't going to be fun. But do like David, the Lord gave, you know, Nathan, what you told me is absolutely the Word of God, and I accept it. Too much pride in most of our experiences. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We've got to unload all of us and let this masterpiece I'm talking about be the one on display. We get to this man, we said born of a virgin, born in such a poor condition they couldn't even offer the sacrifice that was supposed to be required. They had to go to a secondary sacrifice that God allowed for the poor. Come on now. And we see how much He's blessed us. Yes, sir. Thank the Lord. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. I hope you're seeing past Brother Andrew right now, and you can feel that same spirit that's here right now that's trying to express to you who He really is. Because that's exactly what I feel like. I've sang the song. You might have heard it. It was me. Has anybody ever? I think I sang it here, didn't I? Oh my, that ain't Brother Andrew singing. Why? It's the Holy Spirit. He's wooing over us, saying, "Why do you doubt me when I've done everything?" Like we just said earlier, why do you doubt me when you know you should have wrecked right there and I pulled your car aside? Thank the Lord. But yet the Bible could say that this man who had no beauty that we should desire, made himself of no reputation, he was in the brightness of God's glory. He was the expressed image of, give me who's more perfect than God. But this man was called the image that you could look at and you could see who God was.
Amen.
And when he began to open the Bible, how many knows that story? When he pulls out, I believe it's out of Isaiah 60, if I remember right. And he says, "This day this scripture is fulfilled. I've come to set the captive free and loose those that are in prison. This day is that scripture fulfilled." And he just stepped back. And the congregation just stared at him. That was his third pull of bringing that word out. I'm here to tell you this character that went with this man. He stayed with the word regardless. They were ready to kill him shortly after that. He could have snapped his fingers and they all would have been dead. Jesus didn't have to heal the sick. Jesus didn't have to take your mind's sin upon himself. He was still the Almighty, even though he was a man. He could have made any choice he wanted to. What made this man God's character is that God has never put himself in front of anybody. You ever thought about that? How humble of a God do we really serve? You can see it if you'll just look at Jesus for who he really is. Emmanuel, God with us, the perfect man. You can see Christ in David, but just part of it. You can see Christ in Moses all the way down. But when you got to this, you had all of God. Every single facet of, I'm taking my time for a reason, just in case you're getting bored. There's a reason we're here tonight to hear these things. When Jesus, what made Jesus so have so much power with God? When did he show the miracles? Go read it. When he felt compassion. People think that they can be the character Christian but no power. Or they can be the power Christian with no character. Not in Christ. The amount of character you have will be the amount of power of God there really is in your life.
Amen.
That's it. You hear me now? Because I've heard many people say that some brother's humble. You're not humble like Jesus was. You're just hiding in the corner somewhere, ain't doing nothing. That ain't what Jesus did when he was humble. He was humble enough to say, "I don't have to raise this boy, but I look over there. And I see a mother who's lost her son." And it began to move on him. It says, I can't imagine being a mother losing my son. And compassion made him go over there. See, what we use the power of God for? To speak $1,000 into our pocket? Come on now. Just look at your prayer life sometimes. You begin to realize what we do sometimes. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But the perfect man didn't even consider that. He cast down all that. Look, he was tempted just the way we are. He had all the same thoughts crossing him. He walked over there and said, oh, don't even cry no more. Come on, boy, get out of there. And just walked away like nothing happened. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, that ain't the way most Christians are in this day. Woo, if they spoke in tongues, you need to know about it. If somebody got healed from their prayer, oh, my. We're going to shout it from the housetop because I did something for God. And that's the last thing that ever happens in your life. No. It's time to humble ourselves. You find a successful servant of God. See, we look at people that are successful now in Christ and all the years they put in. Let's do what we did with David. If you could only go back and see where they started at and how they stayed the course when nobody else would. How they weren't afraid to preach the truth when he knew it split the church in half. Come on now. It's time to stay with the Word. The bride will be God's masterpiece in this day and she will be all the Word. Amen. Now let me just read you a quote. It's a little lengthy here, and then we'll start transitioning this a little bit. On and on we could go because he was simply the match of David. He was the match of Moses. He was the match of Elijah. Masterpiece 64. He was the match of Joseph. Everything is portrayed or foretold by him in the Old Testament matched right into that. What is it? Showing a perfect Redeemer. That we could our old dirty clothes into the laundry. Go claim it again. It's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can claim what's our own. And everything that He died for, we can claim it. So He was the perfect Word portrayed. It pleased God, the great sculptor, to smite Him and to do it this way. We see Him in Isaiah here as I read. We deem esteem Him. We turned our face from Him. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. Everybody talking about Him, making fun of Him. I'm talking about Him now in this day, everybody making fun of Him. See, we esteem Him. We saw Him. Esteem means look at. We did esteem Him smitten and afflicted of God. Yet what did He do this for? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Now we could go on and on with that, but I believe you have a picture of what I mean now. God building back His masterpiece. But let us not forget that in the beginning, when He smote the son of Adam, He took something from his side. All right. Now we're starting to see where we're going here. Yes, Jesus Christ was God, Emmanuel, God made flesh, God that walked the perfect ministry that's ever been on the earth. The man that never committed a sin, always did the will of the Father, resisted temptation. And when it came down to Him versus the Word, He said, not my will, thine be done. He went to the cross, perfect. But then something happened. He was smitten and He died. Why? The masterpiece wasn't finished just yet. In God's creation, it took Him 6 days to make the world, and it was very good, almost, until He looked at His perfect man, and He wasn't satisfied. Right. Too many times we exalt, I'm hoping you understand it now, Jesus and who He is, His perfection, way out there somewhere. And we marvel at it, and there ought to be that in our hearts anyhow. But you're missing the most beautiful part of the picture. God looked down, He saw Adam. We know Adam was a son of God right out of the Word that God spoke. Yet, when He walked around, God said, it's not good that man dwells alone. And He put him to sleep, and He smote him on the side, and He pulled a bride out. Then it was very good. Amen. All right, now let me keep reading. Are you listening? Yep. I believe the quotes. Yeah. That's right. Now the smiting of Christ was for a cause, that He might take from Him one to be a family, the bride. He might take Him a bride. So when His masterpiece was perfected, then He had to smite it to take from it. Not another piece, not another creation, but of the same creation. My brother, don't think bad at this, but think a minute. If he took from him the original creation to make a bride for him, he never made another creation. He took a part of the original creation. The original has returned. Then, if he was the Word, what must the bride, there's that word again, must. What must the bride be? It's got to be the original Word, living God in the Word. And Brother Branham goes through talking about the diamond mines and how they would take diamonds. He'd look at them and said, that don't look like no diamond. That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. That's what Christ looked like on the cross, didn't it? But yet it was God's masterpiece. What did it need? It just needed to cut it a little bit. You need that diamond, you just got to scuff it up and get it just right. And light will shine in all seven colors, just as the light shined in all seven church ages. But now the light has been focused back in and it's built another masterpiece that I am presenting to you today. How many believes that? The masterpiece must be cut. Notice, cut for what? Is the piece cut off? No. The piece that's cut off, it's made a victorial needle. The victorial needle is put upon a record that the unseen music to the world. So you put that little diamond, then you can start hearing things that you never heard before. It's just a black disc. There ain't no good to that. You just ain't got the right tool yet. You ain't been honed in yet. You'll realize there's a melody in there somewhere. And people look at a service and say, what's up with these bunch of misfits? All they're doing is shouting, sweating, crying. There ain't nothing going on here. Oh, get the right tool on the inside. Let it begin to shave off the things of the world. And you'll see the Almighty God is here showing Himself alive here to save us. Here to redeem us. Here to heal us. Here to break the chains of the enemy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me keep reading now. But the needle is what brings it out. Brings out the true interpretation of the Word. His life matched all the peoples. It pleased God to smite him. And now, why did He smite him? For the same cause He had to smite Adam. Now we see him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The perfect lamb for sinners slain, a perfect masterpiece. Now for nearly 2,000 years, God has been again making him a masterpiece. Because he struck Adam to get a piece off him, part of him, a rib to make a wife for him. And now that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, he got a piece off of him. It's just the New Testament. That's all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Come on now. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Now it's the New Testament. Another piece to be fulfilled. See, the new and old is husband and wife.
Amen.
Right there in the Word. That's right. See, and it taken the new or the old to foreshow the new. Christ come, the masterpiece to fulfill that. Now His bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. Another masterpiece is in making. Has it taken Him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece? Now He's been for nearly 2,000 years making another masterpiece. A bride for Christ. Another masterpiece. In so doing it, He does it by His never changing method, the same way He made the masterpiece, His Word. That's the way He makes the masterpiece, because He can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's the perfect Word. Any dirt, trash, injections, it'll break, but the heavens and earth will pass away, but My Word will never break. You remember in cutting a diamond that you have to have a perfect tool to do it with. Not just any piece will do it. I've seen tons of them big grinders crash right through it and move them big tons over past that diamond right on through. No, it didn't break the diamond. It has to be cut. Now He's doing the same thing in His never-changing method. We find out in Malachi 3, He said, I'm God and I change not. He cannot change His method. Now as He started in Abraham after the fall of His first masterpiece, He started in Abraham on a foundation to build another masterpiece. He started on the day of Pentecost to build another masterpiece. The original seed Word. started in the first church. What was it? The seed word. The word manifested the promise that had been given. Joel said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh," and that includes the believer. We always quote that, don't we? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we'll emphasize "and the unjust" because, you know, we ain't got no Spirit falling on us here. But that's just because we ain't the unjust. No, sir, it falls on the just first. Just because there's a bogus dollar don't mean you throw the good one away. Every Christian ought to want the presence of God. Every Christian ought to want God to manifest Himself in all 9 spiritual gifts in every single person in the bride of Christ. Every single person. I knew I had to have this for some reason. Paul saw it coming. Listen now. But he warned them about this subtle priesthood that would come and take over with its false doctrines. He knew they would implement a way of worship that excluded the people from any part in a Holy Spirit ministry. Oh my, come on now. You know you've seen it. You wait till I keep reading for a minute. And even right today, among those who claim to be free and full of the Spirit, there is not too much freedom in the laity. And the best we can see, are you listening tonight? Is a few preachers with inspired preaching while the flock just sits there and tries to absorb it. God help us. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit and all participated in spiritual worship. See, we just got to get that out of our mind. I don't care where you came from, what you've been told. When I see half the congregation don't ever move in a service, I'm telling you, it's a far cry from what God saw as the bride of Jesus Christ. When they say, "Well, I'm just a silent worshiper," you just ain't got enough joy just yet. You're a miserable wretch. Don't tell me you're going to have cancer and God heal you one day and you're just going to sit there. No, you're not. Don't tell me you're going to deal with a demon of oppression and then God takes it off and you're just going to say, "Well, thank you, Jesus. Well, isn't that nice?" And then you'll be sitting there going, "What are they all excited about?" And you might be, this is strong, I'm just leading the Spirit. You might bless me in the Holy Ghost. Don't you question the worship of somebody else. Not like that. Oh, no, 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 no. People always want to do that, worried about somebody else and what they're doing and what they're doing. And oh my, I don't know about that spirit. And then you look at them and say, "Well, what are you doing? You ain't in any spirit. I know that's in the Bible. Because last I checked, you ought to be throwing your hands up." Amen. If everybody else so false, here's the runway. You show us the true. I've said that in the scarves of the message. Okay, let's bring in 10 sick people. You heal them. If the message is wrong. Come on now. You say, "Oh, I don't know about that. That's a little prideful." You remember what the prophet said, didn't you? When the Muhammad started questioning, how many knows the story? He said, "I'll bring 30 people. You pray for them, and I'll pray for them. We'll see who gets healed." Brother Bram said, "I wish I would have been there." Why? Because he wasn't exalting himself. There was a cause greater than him, just like David. Is there not a cause? You think I'm trying to exalt me? I don't want us all to die out here. And if nobody's going to take this giant out, I'll do it. And I feel the same way. I feel the same unction. I don't care about some ecclesiastical devil. I don't care if I'm preaching to 4 walls. I'm going to slay that giant of formalism. Slay that giant that says the Spirit don't move no more. I've seen all 9 spiritual gifts right here in this building. Amen. Don't tell me they don't still happen. Thank you, Lord God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Slaying intellectual giants. Oh, he used to move that way, but now he just moves in His Word. Oh, that sounds good, but His Word proves the signs. Amen. Right. He sent the words, signs following. Sick and tired of us praying and just expecting them to die anyways. No. Us just praying for loved ones, but just kind of, well, whatever. Maybe they'll make it. That ain't the faith I'm talking about. I'm talking the faith of the fathers. The same man that could say, "Die!
and thy house shall be saved. It's the man that had the keys. That's what he thought about giving the Holy Ghost. Call me whatever you want to. I don't care. I've got thus saith the Lord. I'll put my life on it. Praise His name tonight. Where did God start building His church? At Pentecost. What did they have at Pentecost? The Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation. Prophesying. What did Paul say? I would that you'd all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy.
Amen.
Who? All y'all. That's the case for Mom down there. She knows what I'm saying now. Just kidding. She's a little south of Ohio. Turn to the Bible a few more times here. Oh my, you pray for my voice. What in the world? Devil don't like hearing that. Titus chapter 2. I'll get a drink while we're turning there. Titus. I'm going to show you a pattern here. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Titus 2, 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Now let me read this the right way, not like a Trinitarian. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it says. It doesn't say the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. No, He's the God and our Savior.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Who gave Himself for us. Either that verse don't even make sense then. Who's Himself now? God or is that the Son? Who is it? Okay, you all believe that. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Can you say all?
All
iniquity. Not sin. Iniquity. After you knew better. Yep. You just need to humble yourself. Say, yes, Lord, I knew it. Yes, Lord, I knew it. I didn't need to do that. I should have just read my word. I should have just grabbed that church aid. But I saw it sitting there, Lord, and I just got out this other thing. I'm learning. You want power with God? Just start doing it. Just start doing that. Every time Satan's going to bring something up, just forget it. Just grab it and start reading it. Say, I don't understand it. I'd rather be trying to get something from the Word and maybe missing a little bit than feeding on something I know's wrong. I'd rather be trying to, like, you know, a cookie monster might miss a little bit, but at least I'm eating what I'm supposed to be eating. That's Can we take that 30 seconds off the tape? Goodness. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's saying, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Can you say amen to the word of God? Can you say it to the same year pastor tonight? Let no man despise a man of God that'll stand for the word. I better know that I'm standing for the word. I might as well just sit down and get out of this place. If I'm not sold out to the word myself, how in the world is I going to help anybody else? What do you notice a pattern here? He hath made us. That's what we started with. He hath made us kings and priests. It says here, why did it say that? What did it say right before that? From His own blood, who washed us in His own blood, then He made us kings and priests. What does it say here? That He could purge us of our iniquities and make us a people zealous of good works. It always follows the atonement. It always follows that God did the atonement.
Amen.
And then He made us. One more, 2:6. 1 Peter 2:6. Actually, just go to verse 1, we'll read down. Excuse me. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. This believer's now, lay it aside. Don't hold on to it. Just lay it aside. Get it out of there. And all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yes, Lord. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. They should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. Oh, I wouldn't have known Brother Roy for nothing. I wouldn't have known Brother John for nobody until this word came. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Which in times past were not a people, but now are a people which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What's the rebuke that Timothy was instructed to give? Was there will come those who will bring legalizers. There will come those who say, we need to do this doctrine or we're not going to be there. You need to fear our move. Don't worry about the word so much. I mean, that's fine, but we're the ones that are going to tell you what it's all about. That's just another pope standing. It might be in a message church, but I don't care. That's not the word of the Lord. The message of rebuke is to cast down all that stuff. If you want to get right with God, forget what doctrine you're following until you repent of your sins.
Amen.
That's what... Obedience. Why didn't they receive it here? It says because they were disobedient. They heard the word, repent. You know what they said? No. I still go to church. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I pay my tithes. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. Even where some Ephesians, how many knows it? We're baptized unto John. We got the word of the Lord. We're looking for the Messiah. We believe what John was saying. There's a lot of message people stuck right there too. But did you get in what the messenger was pointing to? Did you get in that person he was trying to show forth? Jesus Christ, the masterpiece, the stone that they wouldn't obey, but now has become the head of the corner. It was a stone of offense to them that weren't obedient. Oh, thank God. Did you repent? Come on now. Did you get baptized in Jesus Christ's name? Did you receive the Holy Ghost? And you're blessed. Not a stone of offense, a stone that we praise and we lift our hands to and say, without that, oh, where would I be?
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
How are we to approach that stone? As a living stone. That's why I love the way God does things. He's a living God.
Amen.
He's a stone that, yeah, it looked like one, but it can multiply. It can build a building with one stone. Yes, you can, if it was alive. And that stone, come on now. That Spirit, that same God, took Himself on the day of Pentecost. And He started breaking attributes off and putting it in this one. He might have put a few in there too, who knows, that would spread on down the line. Knowing who they'd go witness to, that seed needs to be there for them. So we'll put that right there. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that the atonement has come. And redeemed back to Himself. What makes the bride so beautiful is she was smitten in sins and trespasses, compassed with iniquities, the blackest of the black, the whore out on the street, the drunkard on the bar stool, and here they are with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, I hope you hear me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I got another one out of Church Age book. I'll try to wrap it up here soon. Thank you, Jesus. Here's Brother Branham. It's out of Revelation of Jesus Christ right there at the beginning of the Church Age book. But he quotes the scripture I read earlier. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He hath made us. Oh, there are certain truths we need to emphasize. And this is one of them. He hath made us. Salvation is His doing. Salvation is of the Lord. All of grace. He redeemed us for a purpose. He bought us for a purpose. We are kings, spiritual kings. Oh, we're going to be kings upon the earth with Him when He sits on His throne. But now are we spiritual kings and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. What does that mean to the believer? Satan's kingdom, I believe, is a spiritual kingdom. And we reign over it.
Amen.
It says in Romans 5:17, for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom or the reign of His dear Son. How many think Jesus is ruling right now? He can do whatever He wants to do. He's in full control. All power in heaven and earth was given to Him. He could squash the devil right now if He wants to. Well, that's where you are. Out of that masterpiece came the same Word of God, the same life of God that has now begun to fill those with the Holy Spirit. And as that life pushes out, as they begin to hear the original Word that calls them not even just back to Pentecost, but back to the Garden of Eden, they begin to see, I'm just like Adam was. I'm a son of God. I've been given the same authority. I don't need to get pushed around. Come on now. By no devil, I'm a king. A religious spirit called that pride. You just need to repent. Get that out of your life. That's what they thought Jesus was doing. Thought he was just puffing himself up. You being a man, make yourself God. Oh, they had it so close. They had it so close. But it wasn't a man making himself God. It was God made Himself a man. And you say you're the bride of Jesus Christ. You're saying you're Jesus Christ's representative on this earth right now. You're trying to make yourself God. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not a bride trying to make herself God. It's God making that other masterpiece. God making Himself into a bride.
Amen.
And I'm here to announce she's on the earth now.
Yes.
And I'm a part of her.
Amen.
I believe you are too.
Amen.
And we've been given every single redemptive blessing with every single revelation needed to pull that out of heaven and bring it down here on earth. Let me read it now. Right now we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, showing forth His praise and glory, showing forth Himself. See, when you think you're living, it's just me being a good person or something. When you yield to the Word, that is the world seeing Jesus Christ alive today. When we say Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever, that's what should be the truth that's going through your mind, is Jesus is living through me. Jesus is manifesting through me. And if I just stay out of the way and let that Word move through, let it testify of His goodness, let it raise my hands
Amen. In
praise and thanksgiving, come on now, then the world can still see Jesus Christ is alive. Right now, showing forth Himself, for it is Christ in us, willing and doing of His good pleasure. Yes, indeed, even now, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and made us priest, yes, priest unto Him, offering the spiritual praise of sanctified lips, spending our lives as a sweet offering unto Him, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, interceding and petitioning, priests and kings unto our God. No wonder the world does not appeal to us, and we are a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. We have been recreated in Him to be children like unto our Father.
Amen.
Everybody knows the law of reproduction. When you have a duck and it has a child, you got a duck. You can give me all the evolution garbage you want to give me. It don't work that way. Ducks make ducks. Horses make horses. So if God decides He wants to have a child, and ye are God. You know that's in the Word of God. You know Jesus even quoted that. He even said, the Scripture cannot be broken.
Amen.
You call them gods who the Word of the Lord came to. And they are gods. And it can't break the Scripture. You're absolutely right. So why in the world are you condemning me when I say I'm the Son of God? You know what the problem was? They couldn't tell He was the Word for their day. That's what they were missing. And why were they blinded? So that you and I could have the sight to see the Word here today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. One last scripture and we'll close here. Acts 8. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 8, 34. Read Acts 8, the whole chapter. You'll have Philip leaving his revival to go follow the Spirit. See, that's why Philip could be trusted with this kind of power, because of the character he had. We all want to be translated, but who knew Philip was translated besides some eunuch somewhere out in the woods that just happened to get baptized?
Right.
Who got to see his great conversion besides Philip, who disappeared the second it was done?
Amen.
It shows you when a soul really means business.
Right.
But you get down to this point. Let me find where I'm at. Let's go to, let's just, 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. And look, he was reading his Bible that day. What if he just kept Bible reading that day? You might not think it matters, but every time you open this Word, it could change that somebody's life or your own.
That's right.
That's right. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. That first masterpiece now. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. See, a lot of people hear that the wrong way. He didn't preach to him about Jesus or explain Jesus. When Philip opened his mouth, being full of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Jesus, he preached to him Jesus. And he could see the Son of God lives.
Amen.
How do you know that? Read the next few verses here. Let's just do, and they went on their way, and they came into a certain water. That's all it took. Look, we're right here at the water already. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why? Because he saw him manifested again in a man that could take a scripture that looked like it had no meaning and show you this day this scripture is fulfilled. This God you're looking for is here speaking out of my lips right now. The Holy Ghost that filled him on River Jordan filled me, and it's interested in filling you.
Hallelujah.
And he heard that word, and I'm sure he told him Acts 2:38 because he saw some water. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? See, that's the way we ought to think. Hey, here's the word. It came out of nowhere. I have no idea why Philip showed up this day. There just happens to be water here. Why not just go ahead and get baptized? That's what we need to do. He didn't take time to let Satan reason to him. He just did it.
Amen.
And I believe he got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because right away, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
That's the Jesus Christ that we're talking about, that does the will of the Father. Because, there you go. Now, don't add any other reason. Why? Because God said so, that's what I'm going to do. What did Jesus Christ tell us? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching them. What are you supposed to teach them? Get baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But see, to the man who don't know what he's talking about, they go and baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If I told you to write a check in the name of my Father, and you wrote the name of my Father on the check, I'd probably think you're a little stupid. Come on now, let's be honest. Come on, you knew what I meant. Not if you don't got revelation, but I did exactly what you said. Lord, Lord, have now we cast out devils and done many mighty works? I never knew you. You worker of iniquity. Because you knew the truth and you turned it down and God gave you over to a reprobate mind. Now you actually believe that lie that you used to know was a lie. Now you think it's truth. That's why when I see somebody fly off the deep end and talk about, there's no point in even talking at that point. You left it. That's what I believe is the worst thing you could ever do, is to turn the word behind and push it aside and say, that's the devil. I'm going to go this way. You're done. Yep. You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. There's nothing I can do. Why? I'm going to quote to you the same word you already turned down. So how can I help you? Sure. That's your only hope. The word isn't a doctrine. It's Jesus Christ. When Philip began to say the revelation of Isaiah, it didn't say he preached about Jesus. He was preaching Jesus himself. Because the Word and Him are the same, and the bride's here. Preaching the same Word, proving that Jesus is still here now. Stand together with me tonight. In respect to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Church age, Ephesian church age, I'm going to read you a quote. Yeah, whatever you feel, it's fine. Thank you, Jesus. If you know what Ephesian Ephesus means, it means aimed at and relaxed. Brother Bram begins to talk about what happened to them when they began to relax. And he says this, the fervent desire to please God, the passion to know His Word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit, all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. Just a bit formal. That is what was happening back there at Ephesus. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment to God was dying out. The people weren't too careful about what God thought of them, as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. That second generation coming on, just like Israel, they demanded a king to be like the other nations. When they did that, they rejected God. But they did it anyway. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitude, and their behavior. They get lax. That is what Ephesus means. Relaxed. Drifting. Thank you, Jesus. You say, why'd you read that right now? Don't be in no hurry to leave the house of God right now. Don't you never let formalism get into your worship, into your life with God. Don't get religious. You fall in love with Him. When you come to the house of God, He ought to be the only thing you ever see. We read that earlier. Each person is to have the leading of the Spirit. And if you honestly go back and say, what's God leading me to do? Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I'm talking about a masterpiece that isn't going to be relaxed. She's predestinated not to fall. You say, I can't do it. Yes, you can, brother, sister. You've received the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is here to lead you. Don't get formal on God. You shake that thing off right now. How come anytime we go to worship, we have to say, let's raise our hands now. Come on now, listen. You hearing me? I ain't trying to rebuke everybody in the world, but there should be someone on the inside that just doesn't need me. I'm just here to praise God. I'm here to worship God. That's why I came today. I didn't came to be seen. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I came to worship my God and Savior. I came to follow the will of the Father. They that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm not here to reason when the Spirit begins to move on me. You all know the Spirit moves on you. And we've let it go by too many times. God, help us to get out of that mindset. You are God's masterpiece. You feel led to speak in tongues, you go ahead. You feel the gift of healing coming on you and you're going to go lay hands on somebody, go do it. Why? Because we've caged up the laity too much. We need to get that out. Sister, you're the same. You've been caged up too much in the spiritual things. No, sir, let the Holy Spirit move. Thank you, Lord. Don't wait on the ministry to get something done. That isn't what makes an army work. It makes a bunch of soldiers down on the front lines who ain't afraid to take the word and do what commander said and go trump over the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. And in this army, I hate that there ain't no general but him. I'm on the front lines just the same as everybody else. Don't you think I'm exalting my office? No, 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 no. I'm in the same boat you are. I'm here to conquer the same devil. I believe what I'm saying. I believe the 9 spiritual gifts are in this place. And every person has a part in that ministry. I'm fully persuaded of that. Because that's what the prophet of God said. I don't care if we've got 9 people, we'll have 9 gifts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what do we wait on to move into the Spirit? That's what I'm asking. What are we getting formal? We wait for some kind of command? Did the Spirit tell you to worship? And you ought to just worship. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm just somewhere else right now. Thank you for the name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you get enough faith to believe that? That it wasn't Brother Branham that was his heart. It wasn't Brother Branham that got anybody healed. Jesus Christ was showing himself alive. And when we preach that same word, he's doing it again. He's doing it again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I know the master of the wind.
Yes, Jesus. Just worship him.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine.
Thank you,
again.
Yield yourself to the Spirit.
I know the master of.
Let the Holy Spirit have his way tonight. Thank you, Father.
master of the wind.
Oh, Jesus.
Help these children.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.